The federal government's not talking this morning about what everyone else is talking about. I know, I'm talking about Cablegate, the first of the WikiLeaks cables, which focuses on Australia's diplomatic conversations with the US. Kevin Rudd's 75-minute lunch with the US Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in March 2009 outlines the former PM's confidential thoughts on the rise of China. He describes himself to Hillary Clinton as a brutal realist when it comes to China and argues for multilateral engagement with bilateral vigour, integrating China effectively into the international community and allowing it to demonstrate greater responsibility, all while also preparing to deploy force if everything goes wrong. Early this morning, we spoke with independent MP and former whistleblower Andrew Wilkie.
I'm wondering, you know, the degree to which Kevin Rudd was fair dinkum about that. You know, the prospect of using force against China or supporting the US using force against China, just because it's, you know, it might be sitting slightly outside the international community from time to time, I think that is just an inconceivable notion. I suspect there was some posturing on Kevin Rudd's place at that time. I can see all sorts of reasons why it's in the government's interest, in the government's political self-interest, for that information not to be aired. Sure, there are things about WikiLeaks which are unpalatable. There are things about WikiLeaks which are embarrassing for governments. There's things there that I and maybe you wouldn't do. But the fact is, it hasn't broken any Australian law. It hasn't broken any US law. But I think what's a bit more alarming for me is the way the Australian government has been so quick to come to the support of the United States at the expense of an Australian citizen who's not doing anything illegal.
Independent MP and former whistleblower Andrew Wilkie. Well, Michelle Grattan joined us in our Parliament House studio. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Michelle, do you think the Australian government can continue in silence, that it's not going to comment on intelligence matters, when the US government is very busy talking about it at the highest levels?
I think it's going to be very difficult because obviously now that we've got a lot of content involving Australia, involving the former Prime Minister and present Foreign Minister, then questions will inevitably increase and intensify, including to him, about some of these attitudes as opposed to the leak itself.
Yeah, and you know, in terms of the attitudes, we've already had Julia Bishop on AM calling for Julia Gillard to either endorse or back away from some of the commentary, especially the comment that, you know, suggesting that America should be prepared to deploy force against China if everything goes wrong, for instance.
That's right, and it will be very tricky for her to just continue to evade those questions. I think that what we'd see from this material, though, is really an intensified version of what we knew or know about Kevin Rudd, and that is he is very, very tough-minded when it comes to China. He's an expert on China, obviously recognised by the Americans as someone with very useful information and views about China. But he has never been a romantic about China.
We also know he's very active in on the foreign stage, and all the while he was Prime Minister, which is the time frame for these leaked cables, he was very active. And we also know he can be very chatty in his brutally realistic off-the-record chats. Do you think he'll be nervous about what else might be coming?
I think it's important also to remember that he knew and knows Hillary Clinton very well, and therefore you would expect a certain level of frankness in a discussion with her. Of course, there were some others present that you mightn't get if he was talking to someone he didn't know as well and didn't have a level of intimacy with.
And I wonder if this explains why Hillary Clinton was, on so many occasions when she was here recently, so praiseworthy of Kevin Rudd and the advice he'd given the US on China. Michelle, meanwhile, the Treasurer, Wayne Swan, goes to Cabinet today, I understand, with his long-awaited banking competition plan. How much do we know about what's going to be in this package?
What we know is that the package will be designed to try to strengthen the second tier of the banking system and therefore put some more muscled competition into banking. We don't think, get that package today. We'll get it somewhat later in the week. But it'll be fascinating to see how the major banks respond. We've been waiting for a very long time for this package, so it will also be a case of the government needing to live up to the expectations it has generated and not have a package that is seen as doing nothing much.
And Shadow Treasurer Joe Hockey is poised to jump on this and maximum pressure on the government. But maximum pressure on Tony Abbott at the moment still, Michelle, over the over IR reform. And as we've been discussing all last week, his suggestion that business isn't, you know, clamouring, breaking down the door, basically, to make changes. He was asked about this on Insiders yesterday, and he said a number of times that it's up to business to make the case for IR change. Well, business group ACCI has responded, saying it won't provide political coverage for politicians. They need to work out the policy themselves. Tony Abbott's getting himself into a bit of a bind, in here, isn't he? But he's not backing off here.
I think Tony Abbott's natural inclination is not to open up this area more than he has to. I think that what he said over the last week is consistent with that. But on the other hand, there is some pressure from business, but not huge. But there's also pressure within his own party. He's responding to that by essentially trying to deflect the issue to business and saying, well, of course we're open-minded, but others have got to make the case. And as he doesn't want to make this a political issue, that's the sort of tactic he hopes will serve him at least for a while.
Mm. I thought it was interesting too that Tony Abbott does seem to have amended his language. You know, the stop the boat, stop the tax mantra that was there through the campaign, the three-word slogans that Julia Gillard is on about repeatedly. He now seems to have a bit new language around it. He's talking lower taxes, stronger borders, fairer welfare, a softer, slightly softer language. Is this about him trying to prove he's not a wrecker?
I think that's partly what it's about. It's an attempt to get onto a more positive footing for 2011. He knows that the wrecker language the government continues to use would be very damaging if not counted. But I think if, for example, we get a carbon price as promised next year from the government, then we'll also have the negative language too. I think there'll be plenty of stop the tax, but he is now trying to mix his messages to present not so much a softer face as a more positive face, as well as the negative one.
Okay, Michelle, thanks very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Michelle Grattan, political editor with The Age newspaper. It's 17 to 8.